News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now, October 7th, 2023 will forever be remembered as the day Hamas launched a large-scale attack on Israel, marking one of the deadliest days in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict in recent decades and, of course, triggering the war that has been running ever since. And Ilan Levy, former Israeli government spokesperson, joins us now. Ilan, what is the mood like in Israel today, 1 year on from October 7th? Has the mood changed, shifted, hardened, or is this a day of reflection?
Good morning. It's a somber mood in Israel. I've just come now from a memorial ceremony in Kfar Aza, and no one can quite believe it has been a whole year since October 7th, and no one can believe that it has been only a year. October 7th was the worst day of our lives. You mentioned the sadistic massacre of 1,200 people, over 150 taken hostage. There are still over 100 people hostage. And that conflict has now escalated because what started with Hamas's invasion on October 7th has now become a war in which we are under attack on seven fronts. Overnight, there was an attempted drone attack near Tel Aviv from either Yemen or Iraq. We had direct missile strikes from the Hezbollah terrorists in Lebanon overnight that hit Haifa as well. Okay. And so there is a sense in Israel that we're still living October 7th. This is still very much an existential war and a war for our fight for our lives.
I'm interested in what you just said there. You said Israel is now fighting a war on seven fronts. And notwithstanding, I fully accept the brutality of that day. I think that attack, people were butchered. There's no two ways about it. And I fully accept that. So this is not whataboutery or dismissing that in any way. But what I want to ask you, you've just said you're fighting a war on seven fronts. Does that not raise the question that Israel hasn't handled this well? Because things since October 7th have done nothing but get worse and worse.
It's a terribly alarming situation. We are in a situation of us wanted to be in and couldn't imagine that we would have been in. You know, the day after the October 7th massacre, Hamas's allies in Lebanon, Hezbollah, saw what Hamas did and decided to join the feeding frenzy. And then their allies in Yemen decided to do it too. And that's because October 7th was not only the opening shot of Hamas's war, it was the opening shot of the Iranian regime's regional war against us.
And I accept that what they would call the axis of resistance and what you would call the axis of evil, I accept that Iran is behind people like a puppet master. I accept all that. But what about the political opponents of Benjamin Netanyahu, and including many of them relatives of hostages, would accuse him of blocking a ceasefire and a hostage deal to appease ultra-nationalists and putting his own political survival before the lives of Israelis? Because it is without question the case that the lives of Israelis have gotten worse over the last year as well.
Oh, no doubt. And we're having a very painful discussion in the country about how high a ransom we should pay in order to get back those poor hostages. But the sad fact of the matter is, and this is something that everyone in Israel takes for granted, Hamas does not want to free the hostages. Hamas is hoping to drag its allies, the other Iranian proxies, into the war in order to save it, because it wants to live and fight another day. You know, the first thing Hamas did after the massacre was to promise to do it again and again and to leave us no choice but to bring them down. And you're seeing now increasing reports as well. I saw in the New York Times just the other day, American intelligence are concluding that Hamas does not want to release the hostages.
Okay.
And so what we need is...
Ilan, and I can see why you would be highly critical of Hamas. I get that. And many people would say that, yes, Hamas were hoping that the other proxies would row in behind them after October the 7th and declare an all-out war on Israel, and that has failed, and they haven't succeeded in that. But surely one of the reasons that the other proxies are there, and are like the Hezbollahs and all of that, is to do with Israeli action in Gaza, is to do with 42,000 dead Palestinians, and that time and time again, it comes back to proportionality. No one in their right mind would not be, couldn't avoid criticizing Hamas for that brutal attack on October 7th. I don't think anyone could say that was anything other than brutal and dreadful. But 42,000.
Many people do deny it, unfortunately.
Well, I'm not one of them. But yeah. 42,000 dead in response to those 1,200 dead. The proportionality is an issue. And Israel's aggression within Gaza has probably made this worse. We are further from peace. We are not closer to peace. Israel is fighting a war on further fronts. Israel's northern communities are still not able to live where they used to live. All of this is ongoing. And some of that is not down to Hamas. Some of that is not down to Palestinians. Some of that is down to Israeli actions.
Well, I'll address two separate issues there. First of all, Hezbollah's response has nothing to do with the death toll. It started on October 8th. This has been a war that Hezbollah has been waging for 12 months now. They've fired over 10,000 rockets at us, and this has been going on since October 8th, long before the casualties in Gaza started rising. And they joined the war because they, like Hamas, like the Houthis, are funded, armed, and trained by the Islamic regime in Iran, which wants to destroy Israel and whose leaders are perfectly clear about that. Now, look, the situation in the Gaza Strip is plainly horrific. And it's horrific because Hamas launched a needless war, promised to do it again and again, and gave Israelis no choice but to fight a war in order to bring Hamas down, because they told us, if you do not bring us down, we are going to do this again and again. And Hamas determined that the price of bringing them down would be very high. And they did that because they built a tunnel network longer than the London Underground, under homes and schools and hospitals. Their strategy was to deliberately hide military assets under civilian areas in order to put civilians at risk and make it difficult to reach their military assets. And what Israel has been trying to do since then, a challenge that no army in the history of the world has confronted, has been to try to get civilians out of immediate danger so that it can target the terror infrastructure that Hamas hid under their homes, under their schools, under their hospitals. You're right that the death toll is very high. It's very high because among that number are, and that is a number we would dispute, but among that number are at least 18,000 Hamas terrorists. And military experts who know what the reality of war is like, I know that Ireland isn't in NATO, but the deputy supreme commander of NATO, the former one, said that he came away impressed that Israel's rules of engagement are every bit as rigorous as other Western militaries, because it is fighting the most fiendishly difficult counterterrorism battle that any army has ever fought. The situation in Gaza is horrific. It's plainly horrific. But we're fighting not out of vengeance because of the last October 7th, but because Hamas threatened to do this again and again, because we still have hostages in Gaza, and because we realize that we cannot allow a terrorist regime to arm on our borders, to hide underneath homes and schools and hospitals, and to use their own civilians who celebrated on October 7th, sadly, to use them as human shields and sacrifice them on the altar of jihad.
Look, we'll leave it there. Ilan Levy, former Israeli government spokesperson.
News Talk Breakfast with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.